Look for 7@7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.
I feel like as far as the skills I bring, I feel like I bring a great skill set. You know what I mean? I got all the intangibles. Great length, great speed, great athleticism, all that good stuff. But as far as the position, we haven't talked about it yet. And to be honest, it doesn't matter. I'm just happy and excited to be a Raider. And I'm going to be the best at whatever position I play. I feel like my explosiveness allows me to bring physicality, speed, and just everything you need in an O-lineman, honestly, to Raiders offensive line. But again, I'm just grateful for this opportunity and more than happy and excited to just get ready and get started.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast. This is a bonus episode coming at you from Cleveland, and we are brought to you by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and also presented to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. It's Heidi Fang here with Sam Gordon, and we're going to get into what happened here with the Raiders at number 17 in the NFL draft. Sam, Alex Leatherwood, offensive lineman from Alabama, is selected at 17 for the Las Vegas Raiders. What was your initial reaction? Because I know mine.
Yeah, Heidi. First and foremost, great to be here. I had a great time in Cleveland so far. It's been a heck of an experience. Glad you're here. With that said, in terms of your question, definitely surprised, right? Definitely surprised. Not surprised I went right tackle. I continued to voice leading up to the draft that I thought right tackle was the way to go. It was an obvious need, and the offensive line had been a strength of this team despite its consistent struggles the last few years. The offensive line was a pretty reliable unit, and a lot of turnover. Trent Brown's gone. You're just going to be some reshuffling. You move out Gabe Jackson. You move out Rodney Hudson. And you knew there was going to have to be some adjustments made, and there was a glaring hole at right tackle, and they went with the right tackle. So, first, they filled a need, but just not with the player I thought they'd fill that need with. And you look at how the board was shaking out. I thought Christian Darrisaw was going to be the pick, especially considering what his grade was and where the Raiders were picking, and he wasn't. Now, that said, just because Alex Leatherwood is a surprise – and we didn't expect him to be there, doesn't mean he won't be a good player. But it feels like more often than not, the Raiders under John Gruden and Mike Mayock have reached for players that they could have gotten later and aren't maximizing the value of their first-round picks. I think Damon Arnette in 2020 was a good example of that, and even Cleveland Farrell, who's a very good player, by the way, in the top five in 2019. So with that in mind, I think Alex Leatherwood fits that trend, but the jury's still out on how good he's going to be. I think he has a lot of potential to be a good player. I was an All-American, big-time film, comes from a big-time program, and he's going to get his opportunity to prove Mike Mayock and John Gruden right.
Look, I want to be optimistic about this, but I think there were other guys that were on the board that had a lot of potential, and the Raiders did go out here, and they went out on a limb. But let's take a look at some of the numbers here. He's a 6'6 guy, 312 pounds, co-recipient of the SEC Jacobs Blocking Trophy. He played 832 snaps in 2020, only allowing 2 sacks in that season.
Yeah, and he's a good football player, and that's not to say he can't step in and start at right tackle from day one and be a really good player. Maybe he plays guard. I'm not really sure. He played some guard in college at Alabama. He has experience at both positions. I assume he's going to play right tackle, or at least that's a spot he's going to compete at right away. But we'll see. Now, that said, I think they could have got him in the second round. But you never know. The way this board is shaking out, the top free safety on the board, a top 15 or top 20 prospect, Trevon Merrig, is still there. The linebacker out of Notre Dame is still there. So you never know with these drafts. Maybe the Raiders can recoup some value in the second round if they nail the pick and they get somebody that was graded a little higher. But Alex Leatherwood is certainly not what I expected, and I don't know if anybody expected that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how he plays.
All right. So some of the reactions already on my timeline were much similar to yours. I had one Raider fan tell me gross. Another one said neither of the picks that they were thinking was going to be picked went there. So a lot of people obviously agreeing with that sentiment that you had there, Sam. So we still have 48, like you said, and there's some good names, quality names that are left on the board. What do you think is in the mind of Raiders coming up tomorrow in round two?
Well, we know that the Raiders came into this draft with two glaring holes, right tackle, which they addressed, right with Alex Leatherwood, and free safety. And I expect them to go free safety in that second round, and they have a number of options, right? The guy I liked was Javon Holland out of Oregon, who was an all Pac-12 caliber player, sat out the 2020 season in wake of the coronavirus pandemic, but the last time we saw him in 2019, he was one of the best players in the Pac-12, big-time player. Or you can go with Richie Grant, the safety out of Central Florida, another big-time player. So I think both those guys have the skill set, the tools to come in and start day one and be an impact player in Gus Bradley's cover three scheme. But then again, as we've come to learn about Mike Mayock and John Gruden, you never know. You never know. They might go in a completely different direction. So I expect them at some point to address that the safety position, whether that's in the second round or the third round. But obviously, the earlier you address that, the higher your chances are of getting a better player. So it's interesting options to say the least, but we'll see.
Yeah, so you say safety, so just to mix things up, I'm going to say they go with another offensive lineman, just because I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to name somebody. I'm just saying that's what they probably will do. But Sam, we have been here this week here in Cleveland, and we had the opportunity to do a lot of things. You particularly, you got to go to Canton. You had a piece on that. You interviewed a Raiders fan of the year that came out, and she's actually announcing a pick on Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit more. But as you start to kind of reflect on your experience here, what stood out to you?
Yeah, I think what stood out to me, Heidi, and this is, you know, full disclaimer, my first time covering an NFL draft, but it's just how communal it's become and how it's like a football festival and really a celebration of football. It's not about the draft anymore, and that's kind of what the NFL was aiming for when they decided to take this event on the road in 2015, right? It had been a Radio City Music Hall for so long, and it had just been about football, and it had been the same thing over and over and over again. And credit to the NFL for adapting and really integrating the city. And, you know, the reason we're out here, Heidi, right, is because Vegas is hosting the draft in 2022. We kind of wanted to get a feel for what it might be like. And what I come to learn is it's really a showcase of the city, a showcase of the city's culture, a showcase of all the things that make Cleveland unique. And as we record this podcast, we're in a science center that sits on Lake Erie. We're a couple blocks away from First Energy Stadium, where the Browns play. That's being utilized for fans to enjoy the experience, to be a part of the experience. And we're a couple blocks away from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we kind of saw the blueprint for what the NFL had in mind for Vegas last year in 2020 when the draft was supposed to come. And I imagine the league is going to build on that moving forward as they prepare for 2022. So that's what stands out to me, and it, just how passionate of a sports city Cleveland is, and how rich the tradition and culture is. And I think it especially matters because the Browns are good. Like, the Browns are really, really good now, and I think that makes it all the more exciting.
I was really surprised that I came out here. It's raining, and yet you have all these fans that are braving the weather, coming out here, trying to make their way through the experience, which, as earlier on in the week, a lady from the NFL, Nikki Ewell, told us that the Browns play when there's rain, so the fans will come out and play in the rain too, and they certainly did. So the experience here has been really something, just thinking about all the different aspects, like you said, of what we got to witness, what we got to participate in. And I want to get into a fan experience that we actually got to profile, and I will get back into that when we take a quick break and come back. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast.
Look for 7@7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, Sam Gordon. We're here in Cleveland, where the first round of the NFL draft has literally just wrapped up. The final selection made by the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Sam, the Raiders, we recapped that pick already, but there's a fan who on Saturday will get the opportunity to take the stage here in Cleveland and name one of the Raiders' picks. I mean, can you imagine that opportunity? We got the chance to talk with her. Her name is Denine Vaughn. And Sam, you went really in depth. You're profiling her. This piece will be up in the paper, in print, and on LVRJ.com, VegasNation.com. What an experience, huh?
Yeah, really cool, right? And it goes to show you how football can like we touched about, it's bigger than football. And just a little bit about Deneen, who I had the pleasure of visiting with earlier today. And credit to you, Heidi, you found her at the hotel and made the introduction. You make my job easy in so many ways. So thank you for that in so many ways. And not just me, but all of us at Vegas Nation. So I want to get that out of the way. But with that said, yeah, she's a lifelong Raiders fan who really gravitated from St. Louis, who really gravitated towards the ambiance of the Raiders and the Raiders culture. And lo and behold, she ends up moving to Vegas in 2017, the same year that it gets finalized that the Raiders are coming in 2017. And she's a lifelong educator, was an English teacher, now an administrator in the Clark County School District, and bought a couple PSLs to mainly with the intent of taking kids to games. And as a result, applied for Fan of the Year, and lo and behold, she's a Fan of the Year. And what a cool experience. And now she gets to fulfill a lifelong dream of coming to the draft and being a part of it and being a part of the festivities. And even, like you said, reading the pick, how cool is that? And I think that just goes to show you the impacts that sports and football can have on people's lives. Just like she's passionate, so many of the other fans that we've run into and crossed paths with the draft are just as passionate about their respective teams. And that's what the draft's all about, Heidi. Like, it's a football festival is what I would call it. It's a football festival, a celebration of football, a celebration of being a fan, a celebration of Cleveland, and in next year's case, Las Vegas. So I think that's what's really cool about kind of the event that the draft's become. It brings people from all walks of life together, and they can just celebrate being fans for a few days. Doesn't matter how good your team is or how bad your team is. Doesn't matter what the record was the year before. It's a chance for a fresh start, and there's always that air of excitement, and we've certainly got to experience that the last few days in Cleveland.
An underlying theme, though, you know, a lot of people are vaccinated, is that inner circle of fans that got to participate in so much more because of that vaccination card, and having done that, they were able to go to concerts, they were able to do more, get closer to the stage. So do you think, if, you know, that's kind of laying out what could happen next year in Vegas for fans?
Yeah.
If, you know, it's like probably going to be the same, do you think?
Yeah, I think similar. I think the NFL certainly wanted to be kind of on the cutting edge of introducing or reintroducing events of this magnitude.
Yeah.
And so far, based on just our experience, like, I think they've done a pretty good job. I think they've been pretty prudent, and they've created an environment, a safe environment for the most part, at least based on our experience, based on what I've seen, where fans can be a part of the draft and like I talked about, enjoy all the things that come with football and come with this experience. So hopefully things continue to get better, and we can have a more encouraging outlook going into the summer and then going into 2021, the 2021 season. I know there's the hope back home in Vegas that fans are going to be able to attend games. And I, like you said, I think there's a blueprint in place now for events of this magnitude. I mean, I know the league said they were expecting 50,000 fans to be a part of this experience Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What does the Legion Stadium seat? Like 65,000?
Yeah, 65.
So there's a way. It can be done. We still have to see how everything plays out this summer, but I think that for the first time in a really long time, we can kind of see that light at the end of the tunnel, and that's pretty cool.
Which is actually, it's going to be cooler, like you said. Like, there's going to be a lot of other things that the Las Vegas can do with the draft coming up in 2022, because if you think about it, when they were planning to have it in 2020, so many things weren't done. The convention center wasn't remodeled and done. The Allegiant Stadium wasn't done. So now they're going to have all of those different places to be able to hold more events at, to do different things. Maybe they have a little mini combine for the fans here. You know, Sam and I, we got out there on the field for Synergy, got to throw some footballs around. I was not as good as Sam. Sam can throw 45 yards legit. I could throw like half of that, but hey, I'm proud. That's okay. I'm okay with that. And so if I'm okay with it, then it's not bad, right? But yeah, we've had a great experience out here in Cleveland. We wanted just to bring you our quick thoughts on what the Raiders did at 17 and look ahead to tomorrow. Sam, we talked about it. Number 48. Do you think they stay there? That's where they're staying?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, unless there's somebody they really like. But at this point, I think they're based on the players that are still available.
Yeah.
You have a lot of dynamic talents. You know, there was no safeties drafted in the first round.
Yeah,
so that safety pool is still pretty deep.
Yeah.
Like you said, if they want to add depth on the offensive line, they can certainly do that. I don't think you could ever be too deep on offensive line.
Nope.
To be honest, look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Right. Yeah.
They could have used a little bit more depth going into the Super Bowl. So I mean, they have options, I guess is what I'm saying. They have options. I don't think they're going to move up. up. I think they stand pat, and ultimately I do think they decide to go free safety and then decide to build out their depth moving forward. But like we talked about, Heidi, you never know, especially with this regime.
They're taking a guard, Sam.
especially with this regime, you never know. You have no idea. So, but to their credit, they did address a need, and they got a guy, a veteran player from a big-time program today that can come in, play day one, and can, you know, I know they hope that he can be that bookend along with Colton Miller to anchor that offensive line for the next 5 years. So, let's give Alex Leatherwood, like you said, maybe
give
a little bit of a reach. But if he's a good football player. He was in college, and if he's a good football player in the NFL, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter where he was supposed to go. If they nail the pick, they nail the pick. It is what it is, and that's something that they can hang their hat on. We won't know for six more months. I think there's always kind of a rush to judgment. Like, we want to grade the draft and evaluate all these draft picks, but you really don't know until 2 or 3 years down the road. But, that's where we're at right now, and we'll see what happens on day two.
Yeah, day two. Rounds 2 and 3 get underway. Again, the Raiders have 48, 79, and 80 as their picks on Friday. So we'll keep you updated with all that's happening from Cleveland. Sam will still be out here doing all kinds of coverage, and I will be back in Las Vegas, where I'm heading over to the Westgate for a super fan party with Violators going to be there, probably JT, The Brick, a whole bunch of other people, Gorillarilla. So we're going to see what's going on for Raider Nation when I check back in Vegas tomorrow. But for us tonight from Cleveland, that'll do it. For Sam, Gordon, and I, keep up with all we're doing on VegasNation.com, and thank you for listening.
Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.